The first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 40, verses 1 to 8. That's Psalm 40, verses 1 to 8. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, "Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is in my heart." Hear the word of the Lord.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, in chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray together. God, please open our minds to your mind. Open our hearts to your heart. Align our wills to your will for us today. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, it's the first day of school term, third term, 1988, and I'm feeling on top of my game. I'm at 46 years old, everything is going pretty well. My career is still on an upward curve. I've been assistant principal at Cosgrove High School for 12 years, acting principal for 18 months. The school's growing and thriving, and I'm secure. I basically know what I'm doing, and people trust me. Some people even like me. Amazing. But soon, something very unsettling happens. I get an unexpected phone call from World Vision's national office. Would I have lunch with their national representation manager? Now, if you've ever been invited out to lunch by an official of an organisation, you know there's something going on that's more than just lunch. And sure enough, there was. Over lunch, this guy tells me that World Vision has decided to appoint a full-time state manager for Tasmania and they want me to accept the position. Now, on one level, I'm totally stoked. I mean, Anne and I have been closely involved in World Vision's work as voluntary reps for about 12 years, and this is an amazing opportunity to work in a field that I'm passionate about. But on the other hand, this is going to be a huge life change. It's a big move. I mean, it's risky. My take-home pay will drop by about a third at World Vision, and there's currently no provision to preserve superannuation. And what if I'm a failure in the role? School is all I've ever known. But this role, who knows? Who knows if I'll be any good? Lunch is done. We pray together and we agree to go away and seek God's will. And so I do. And it isn't easy. I wrestle with it. Anne and me, we really agonise over this decision. And in the end, I realise that God is asking me to surrender to him, to surrender my will to his. I need to say to God, not Greg's will, but yours be done. And as Anne and I come to this point of decision and surrender, do you know what happened? The joy and the blessing starts to flood in. From that day until now, God has honoured and blessed that decision. And it all started with a moment of surrender. Today's the last in our 3-week series on worship. 2 weeks ago, in Psalm 27, we see David under malicious attack from his enemies. And how does he respond? He responds by gazing upon the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. David knows that if he focuses his gaze on the Lord in worship, then the myriad of legitimate and real concerns pressing in on his life will be seen in their right perspective. And then last week, Pete showed us in Psalm 63, we see David again under threat, this time from his rogue son Absalom, who's out to kill him. And David's response is once again to seek God's face. He declares, Psalm 63, verse 4 and 5, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. David spends time gazing at God, and having filled his mind with the great truths of God, his heart is touched, and he is moved to praise. And that's the imperative for us today, to make gazing and praising part of our DNA as followers of Jesus. In the midst of all the hard stuff that's going on around us and inside us, to pause and to take time to taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. So today we take the meaning of true worship one essential step further. We move from gaze to praise to surrender. And we'll be looking at Psalm 40. Today is about our response to God through worship in the way we live our lives. Worship isn't simply thinking rightly about God. Worship isn't simply being captivated by God's power and his love. Worship also involves seeking and doing God's will for your life. Worship is gazing upon God, yes. Worship is praising God, yes. But worship also involves surrender. Surrender to God's will. Seeking and following God's will for my life, for your life. Big statement. There can be no true worship without surrender. And this is in stark contrast, isn't it, to the current culture which shouts at us loud and clear, be your own person, do your own thing, follow your own desires, don't let anyone tell you what to do. Surrender to no one. So let's look up Psalm 40 on your phones or on the Bibles and see how King David surrendered to God and what that meant for his life, what it means for us today. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. In verse 1, David waits. And he waits. And then he is changed from the inside out. His patience is richly rewarded. In verse 2, God lifts him up out of the big mess that his life is in, as he describes it so vividly, the slimy pit, the mud and the mire. But God steadies him and gives him a firm foundation upon which to build his future. David sets God's feet on a rock. And what is David's response? Well, he starts by praising God, singing a new song, a song of praise in verse 2. Then he reaffirms his trust in God in verses 2 and 3. Blessed are those who trust in the one true God and don't run after false gods. In verse 5, he marvels at God's amazing provision and plan for him. Many wonders you've done, many things you have planned, none can compare with you. And then in verses 6 to 8, God opens David's mind. He opens David's heart. He opens David's ears. David realizes that God isn't interested in showy stuff like sacrifices and burnt offerings. He says, here I am. I've come. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. It hits David. Hey, Lord, you want me? So here I am. My number one priority is to do your will. And I want to do it. I surrender my life. I surrender my will. Take me, Lord. Use me, Lord. I surrender to you. Yes, worship always involves surrender. Skip over now to Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. Paul's letter to the Romans. The opening two verses. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, he writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is worship? It's offering yourself. Not just your mind, not just your heart, but your whole self. It's a living sacrifice. It's not what you do later on, it's here and now. What pleases God? What makes him happy? When we surrender and offer ourselves to him in worship. Sunday worship is incredibly important. To be here each week with our sisters and brothers, it's so important, isn't it? And we neglect it at our peril. And I just love Sundays. But Romans 12 says this worship happens 24/7. Worship is about all of life. Sunday, yes. Monday, yes. Every day, yes. Doing his will every day. Now, of course, sometimes we don't know exactly what God's will is, especially in those times when you are called to make that big decision which will radically change the direction of your life. What happens if you're stuck in a dilemma? How can you discern God's will for you at those key turning points in your life? Well, I believe that if we truly desire to surrender to God's will, then first our attitude has to be right. And here's some simple guidelines for how we can play our part in arriving at right decisions, decisions in line with God's will. First, we should pray. It all starts with prayer. Second, we should be willing to think. God made us to be thinking beings. He guides our minds as we think things out in his presence. And we need to be willing to think ahead and weigh the long-term consequences of alternative courses of action. Looking at the long-term effects can help us see what is wise and right and what is foolish and wrong. Third, we should be willing to take advice. There are always people who know the Bible and human nature and who know our own gifts and limitations better than we do. And we can benefit from carefully listening to them. Fourth, we must be willing to be ruthlessly honest with ourselves. Ask yourself why you feel a particular course of action will be right and make yourself give reasons. And finally, we must be willing to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord is a constant theme in the Psalms. The Lord often keeps us waiting. David waited. When in doubt, do nothing but continue to wait on God. And remember James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But of course, there are times when we do know what God's will is, and it's just too hard to do it. Often we know what God's heart is. It's just that surrender is hard work. Sometimes it's hard because of pride. Surrender means we might have to let go of our status and our position, our privileges, our perks even. That's what it meant for me when I left my first career in teaching. I had to confront my pride. Sometimes it's hard because of fear. Surrender means we're taking a risk, and who knows where that might end. Surrender means stepping into the unknown. And that can make us feel very vulnerable and anxious. What if this? What if that? For me, it was, what if I'm a failure? There are many things that get in the way of surrendering our will to God's will and purpose. And it takes an intentional decision of our wills to take that step in faith. So let me ask you, are you praying, God, may your will be done in my life today? Lord, I actively surrender to you. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are, surrendering your life to God's will as a teenager is great because you've got so much life ahead of you to enjoy serving God and blessing others. And then pastor and author Craig Groeschel writes this: if you're not dead, you're not done. So if you're not dead, you're not done. It's hope for me yet. So step into the role. If you're not dead, you're not done. So step into the role that God has called you to. Question: do you have to be engaged in full-time or part-time Christian ministry or service to be surrendering and following God's will for your life? Answer: absolutely not. God calls some to Christian ministry and mission, and his call is often loud and clear. But just as important is that we all desire to do God's will in our life roles, as parents and grandparents, as sons and daughters, as carers, as tradespeople, as retirees, as teachers, as students, as nurses, as doctors, as counsellors, as accountants, as academics, as lawyers, as managers, as office workers, as business people, and so I could go on. Check out this picture. Do you know where this is? It's Death Valley in California. It's called Death Valley because nothing grows there. It's completely devoid of any kind of growth. But in the spring of 2004, something amazing happened. 175 millimetres of rain came down on this deserted place. That's 7 inches in the old money, a lot of rain. It was unexpected. It was a huge surprise. Below the surface, under the rock, sand and dirt, were millions of tiny seeds. And these seeds were covered with a thin coating that was stopping them from growing. But when the rain came, it washed away the coating, and this miracle happened. Just look at that. Wow. Just look at that. Look what happened after the rain came. The millions of seeds came to life. All they needed was water. Are there seeds lying dormant in your life right now? Do you need to water those dormant seeds? And how do you do that? By desiring to do God's will. By surrendering your life to God's will and purpose. By allowing God to water the seeds that lie dormant in your life. To bring them to life. It could be a new talent, a new thought, new energy, new thinking. Just waiting to be born for his glory and for your joy. Do you desire to do God's will? Will you surrender your will to him today? Friends, if you will surrender, your life will never be the same again. Mine wasn't. Surrender sounds like hard work, and it can be. But it's also where joy begins. Surrender and joy belong together. There's a reward for surrender. And it's not just in the new heavens and the new earth. It's also right here, right now. I couldn't even begin to tell you the rewards I've experienced in the 31 years since I made that decision to surrender to God's will for my life. What I can say with certainty is without it, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you right now. Do you desire to do God's will? Will you surrender your will to him today? If you will, then I invite you as an act of surrender to kneel on the floor in front of your seat right now. Now, I'm acutely aware that my knees are pretty old and fragile, but I'll give it a go. So please join me if you can. Andrew's going to sing, and as he does, just take in the words and pray simply, God, I desire to do your will. I surrender my life to you today.
And I surrender my life to find it in you, Jesus. And I receive the gift you give, your life for. Holy Spirit, fill me now to overflowing. So all that I am and know can in you grow. Lift high the from the dead. baptize the name of Jesus. I kneel before you, Lord, my King, my Savior, and lay my worthless life down at your see you.
You fell to the ground in that garden before you went to the cross, and you prayed with great passion, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." You just couldn't face the agony, the pain, the shame and the humiliation, but you surrendered. You prayed, "Yet not what I will, but you will, what you will." And today we give thanks to you, God our Father, from the bottom of our hearts, that Jesus, your Son, in this moment of extreme suffering and anguish, surrendered his will to your will. So, Lord God, move us each in this place this morning to surrender our wills to your will. Fill our hearts with the desire to always do your will, to follow your path in everything, for our joy and for your glory. Amen.